I grew up in the city of Chicago, entirely surrounded by buildings and asphalt. When I was a kid, the only animals I ever saw were dogs and cats. And the only growing things were the grass that I had to cut or the trees whose leaves I had to rake in the fall. But dear brothers and sisters, from right here, the rich agricultural heartland of Illinois, you may be happy to learn that I did spend 1 year working on a farm. It was in southern Vermont in 1966 when I was a novice in the Congregation of Holy Cross. We had cows and pigs, goats and chickens. We raised all kinds of apples and vegetables and lots of corn and lots of hay. As the Master of Novices informed us at our very first house conference, the animals feed us and we feed the animals. So I have had a personal experience of bringing in the harvest. Now, we had very little machinery, like the neighboring farms about us. Almost everything was done by novice power. I can remember, actually, 41 years ago this week, brand new, a gang of us novices had to run behind a tractor tossing bales of hay up on a flatbed cart. Now, every one of my puny muscles ached, and I had terrible hay fever. But we had to work together. We had to go no faster than the slowest or the weakest to bring in the harvest. We had to depend on one another and be cooperative for the common good, putting up with one another so that we could eventually be fed by what was produced and then harvest by our shared efforts. Now, except for chickens that almost ended my vocation, I mostly love the farm. And 1966, 1967 really was one of the best years of my life. Today's gospel, Jesus offers a somewhat similar formula of poverty, of simplicity, and of cooperation for his novice disciples as they were sent out to bring in the harvest. Now, he wasn't sending them out to bring in hay, but rather to bring in a harvest of believers for the kingdom of God. Notice Jesus sends out those 72 disciples to the neighboring villages of northern Galilee, where Jesus himself intended to preach at a later time. They were sent out in his name to do his work, to do what Jesus himself would do, and also to live in the way that Jesus himself lived. Like the Lamb of God, they were to be like lambs in the midst of wolves. Jesus urges them to travel light. Those whom he was sending should carry very little besides the message of the good news. They should go directly where they had been sent and eat and drink whatever was set before them, and not move around from house to house, not look for any kind of personal advantage through their work of proclaiming the gospel. Jesus told them to cure whatever needed curing, and then to preach the message of the kingdom. That is God's direct and personal rule that was about to break into this bruised and broken and tired old world. If the people accepted the message, they would be abundantly blessed. But if they rejected the message, they would be as lost as was ancient Sodom. These were the life and death choices: a harvest of salvation or a harvest of loss. Now the disciples came back successful and rejoicing, depending not on wealth, but only depending upon the power of God and the life-giving word of Jesus. They had worked miracles. Even the demons had submitted to them. Jesus tells them he had seen Satan fall like lightning from the sky, but that they should not be proud, but rather that they should rejoice that they had been saved because their own names had been written down in heaven. Now, this wondrous time of salvation, this era of amazing grace, was beautifully predicted in today's first reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. The ancient oracle describes a new age of selflessness, of love and cooperation. The kingdom of heaven is to be compared to a loving mother who tenderly nurses and consoles her children. Those who trust in the promises of God will be safe and content as little babies cuddled and secure in their mother's arms. Babies like that don't have to fight and scratch for their needs. They have their moms to provide. Trusting in the one who loves them and cares for them, they have everything and even more than they need. St. Paul gives a somewhat similar message in today's second reading, that ultimately none of us should depend upon anything but what God will do for us in his new and redeemed creation. We are all fellow workers in the kingdom of God because the marks of Jesus, that is the saving sign of his cross, is the way we have become brothers and sisters. Now today, there still is an enormous harvest to be gathered in, a harvest of men and women who are lost and hungry and waiting for someone to bring them the good news of salvation. The harvest is still great, and the laborers are still few, those willing to follow and imitate Christ. Now, I can't hear these challenging words from the gospel about leaving everything to follow Jesus without hoping and praying that many in our diocese will hear God's call and consider a vocation to the priesthood, the diaconate, and the religious life. This diocese, thanks be to God, is unusually blessed with vocations, both for priesthood and for consecrated women. And there's an excellent reason for this abundance, because the work of bringing in the harvest is wonderful. It is a blessing. It is filled with joy and consolation. It isn't just those disciples of old who rejoiced in the labor. If people only knew what a joy it is to serve as a priest or a religious, we'd be building additions to our seminaries and convents. To leave all things for the sake of the kingdom, to have no portion in this world but the Lord, to depend only on the power of God, is a rich grace, an almost indescribable kind of happiness. But of course, that challenge to serve Jesus Christ and his gospel is not just addressed to those considering religious vocations. By our baptism, every Christian is called and commissioned to help bring in the harvest through whatever vocation God has called us to. I know that many in this cathedral already give of themselves generously in all sorts of ways to service, to ministry, in their own families, in their neighborhoods, in their businesses, in a wide variety of volunteer associations. A person can witness to Jesus as a factory worker, as a farmer, as an engineer, as a doctor or a nurse, as a scientist, as a teacher, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a grandparent. And if we dedicate our time, our talent, and our treasure to God and His kingdom, God promises us that we will be blessed beyond our deepest dreams or our greatest expectations. The harvest is great, but all of us, as Christians, as the body of Christ in this world, are empowered by the Holy Spirit to achieve whatever it is in this life God has called us to achieve. And because we can trust in God, we really have no more excuses to hold back and not trust in the gifts God has given us. The authority, the miraculous power that can be unleashed in every Christian is the grace, the presence of Jesus in our lives. You know, at every Mass, in every Eucharist, we already share together the products of a wonderful harvest. We offer bread, which human hands have made, and wine, the fruit of the vine and the work of human hands. But these ordinary products of an earthly harvest through the power of the Spirit becomes the bounty of a heavenly harvest. It isn't that the host is produced from some expensive or unusual multi-grain bread. It isn't that the wine is a rare or an expensive vintage. The miracle is that God uses such ordinary stuff, the ordinary products of our human endeavors, to make the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus present among us as our food and drink shared in a banquet of thanksgiving. And a similar process is always supposed to take place in our own lives as God uses whatever gifts or talents He has given us for Christian love, for Christian service, for the ministry of bringing in the harvest. So on this Sunday morning in July, let us all try to really hear the words of Jesus in His gospel, and then to generously respond to His challenge. I really do hope and pray that some of the younger folks present here at Mass will end up as priests and religious, and that someday in this very cathedral, at that altar, some will take their places as a priest or in the assembly as a religious woman, worshiping here and serving our local church. But all of us, priests and deacons, religious and laity, all of us are called by name, by God, to be co-workers with Him in the harvest. We know lots of people in this world don't read the gospel, but in all sorts of different circumstances, we bump into them. We meet them. So let us persistently and energetically proclaim and share the good news with everyone we meet.